Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is the Burgundy and Gold Today on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Oh, this is a big treat for you here. You know, when you hear Burgundy and Gold Today, regardless of what happens on the field, we ball out every day. So you're going to get that Monday through Friday here, straight out ballers. And in order to pull that off, you got to have talent. This next guy here, man, one of the best to put on the Burgundy and Gold. He's in the business now, Jackson. You inspired this young man to go get into broadcast. He wanted to be just like you.
I doubt that.
And now he's a leader of an empire. Gus Frerotte, QB1, what's up?
What's up, Doc? How you doing?
Hey, man, tell Jackson, man, that you wanted to grow up to be just like him, and now he's getting
I was
jealous.
Going to Gus's games as a kid, so don't even start with that. I don't even want to hear it.
Oh, my God.
Jackson, you're not that much younger than me, right?
No, he's really not.
No, I'm not. No, I was telling Doc, though, I remembered Gus going to that game in 95. Mm-hmm. When you guys beat the Cowboys, I think you were big underdogs, I'm sure, at RFK that year. That was their last Super Bowl team with Switzer was the coach. Mm-hmm. And you got the start that day, and obviously that was a huge win for the team that day. And, again, I was surprised at how many Cowboy fans were at RFK. It was the first time I've ever really been to a game at RFK where I remember I was like, oh, God, these Cowboy fans are here.
And they're like roaches. They're everywhere.
Yeah, you know what? It's nice to keep them all quiet, though.
Yeah, no, it was great. I mean, what do you remember from that game? And, I mean, that was kind of weird. Obviously, you were the other quarterback. I mean, they drafted Heath to be the guy here, but you got your chance that week. Obviously, Norv believed in you, and you were able to go and obviously get, you know, a huge win at that time.
Well, you know, that whole year for me is just such a whirlwind just because of everything that was going on. But anytime you play the Cowboys, that week is a little more intense in practice. And I just remember, like, there's a different attitude about the vets that were there, right? Like, it's Cowboys week. We got to win. You know, it's just such a rivalry, such old school kind of feeling that when I was there that I took on and I loved it. And just going out in the field, and anytime I got to play at RFK and being in that stadium was just, I've never been in another stadium that made me feel that way.
Wow. And a Pittsburgh guy who you've seen tradition right in front of your eyes. And that means a lot. I mean, because it's hard to beat the Steelers in terms of big game atmosphere, anything that they do, and how a religion football is. So for you to put RFK in that realm, man, that is huge.
Well, Doc, you know, I mean, when you go to that, there was something special about that stadium. Mm-hmm. The fans, you know, bleachers would bounce, you know, the band, everything that took place there, it just spoke to every person who was a fan of the team. And, you know, for me, I mean, obviously been able to play in almost every stadium and in front of all the fans. But for me, that was just an amazing experience, and I loved it. And it all started for me when I would get out of the car. I had my daughter, and I remember getting out, and Sonny was always there. Sam Huff was always there. And there's two iconic guys who are there talking to me and my wife and holding my daughter. And so it was like don't know. Life can't get any better for me right now.
Gus Arad joining us here on Burgundy Gold today. Doc Walker, Scott Jackson with you here on the Team 980 streaming live on the free Odyssey app. What have you thought watching this group with Scott Turner now, you know, Norv's son, running the offense? Do you see a lot of the similarities in some of the things you guys did? And what do you think of what he has done so far with this team offensively?
Yeah, you know, Scott calls plays. Things are very similar. Obviously, he's going to put his own kind of spin on things. Obviously, he sends it back to his dad. I'm sure his dad watches a lot of games. They talk on the phone a lot. So he's probably not far off of what Norv used to call. The game has changed, I think, a lot from the time when I was playing for Norv. You know, we had a fullback downhill. We were running counters and power football with Terry Allen. And it's just a different game. We don't see that anymore. And so I think Scott's probably taken a lot of what Norv we used to do on third down and, you know, second and long, and turns into regular offense now.
Wow. You know, you have been involved in so many different things post your NFL career. What is the one thing that motivates you now? I know outside of building the network with former players and doing the podcast, doing the whole things, you've always got something going. I love your entrepreneurial spirit. But outside of watching Sunday's games, what pushes your buttons now?
Well, you know, for me, Doc, you talked about we're building this NFL alumni podcast network. Mm-hmm. And for me, man, when I get the guys on the call and I talk to these guys that I played against or played with or were a little older, a little younger, whatever, it doesn't matter. We just all come from the same ilk, and it's so nice. And a lot of times it feels like we're just back in the locker room BSing. And I think if you ask a lot of former players, that's the one part. We love the game. We miss the game. But that locker room stuff, that camaraderie, that kind of personal relationship that you have with the guys when you're playing on a team, you never get that back again, right? And so I think that what I'm doing now, I love it because I get to talk to all these guys, and I bring that kind of, it brings that all that feeling back. And so it's really nice to hear all these other guys' stories, where they're from, the teams they played for, and then just bringing that all together in our network is we're growing something special.
Gus Arad with us, BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today with us here on Burgundy and Gold today. When you see, you know, quarterbacks, you know, early in a game like Carson Wentz had this past week against the Eagles, and you get knocked around like that, and you know, as the game goes on, maybe his clock wasn't speeding up as quickly as it should. Do you feel like, you know, is it fair to say guys, you can get shook, you know, because of what happened early in the game, and maybe sometimes also feel pressure that's not there? And, you know, this, it just didn't seem like Carson ever could get in any kind of real rhythm this past weekend. How did you kind of look at that performance, and does that happen with quarterbacks?
Oh, yeah. I want you to go out and get in your car right now and go out and get 9 wrecks consecutively with your car, and then tell me if you're shook or not. But that's kind of how it feels, you know, when you're a quarterback and you're just getting pummeled, and it feels like your space is getting collapsed. And then, you know, I haven't seen many guys be able to handle that. And the one guy in the last few years that I've been able to see handle that was Joe Burrow. I mean, in that playoff run he had last year, it was amazing. Like, it was like there was no line in front of him, and he was just getting hit and coming up. And that doesn't happen that often. So for what Carson went through early in that game, I would say that, yeah, he probably was shook, and you're seeing ghosts sometimes. And it's not like you're out there playing scared. You're just knowing that I got to get rid of the ball because I don't have much time, and my guy's got to get open. And so all of that turns into probably not very good play out of an offense. And so it takes the whole team. That's why it's an amazing sport. Just one guy can't do it. It takes all 11.
The one interesting thing about our guest, Gus Farratt, is a man who, you know, when you play on multiple teams, you also get so many different ways, and most of them don't work, but you get a chance to experience it, and I think it makes you invaluable as a consultant or a counselor for quarterbacks. When you see this young man now get hit as often as he did against Philadelphia, early on, I haven't been in that position since the freshman year in high school. You tell us, does it make you hold on to – when you hold on to the ball, instead of not getting rid of it, explain that. Because my instincts say I might have gotten rid of it too soon, yet he kept holding on. What was going through his brain?
Well, his brain's probably telling him, I would say probably that he's holding on to it because he knows that if he gets rid of it too early, his guys aren't ready. Plus, you know, it's a tough situation because he's probably wanting to step up, get away from pressure. He thinks it's coming. It may not be coming. I've been in those situations, and it's not fun. And so it's hard to block the last play out, right? Because one thing I learned from Darryl Green was that when I was the Cowboys, Michael Irvin beat him for a touchdown. He came back on the sideline. He was just talking. He was good. You know, Darryl's just an amazing player and an amazing guy. And I said, Darryl, you know, how are you handling that? You know, you went one-on-one. You're always one-on-one. Michael, he beat you. He goes, Gus, it's over. I can't do anything about it. The most important play is the next play. And it's hard to do when you're getting your butt beat. But that's the thing that you always have to keep in mind. All right, that happened. I can't control it. I just got to go back, and I got to hope my guys are blocking, and I got to do my job. I can't block and throw it. I can't throw it and catch it. I can only do what I'm supposed to do. And so sometimes guys lose sight of that, and I feel like when you get hit early, that happens a lot to quarterbacks.
Gus Frerotte talking to us here on Burgundy Gold today. Doc Walker, Scott Jackson here on the team, 980 streaming live on the free Odyssey app. I don't know how much of these first 3 weeks you've got to watch the Commanders, but it has obviously been, you know, we've got the great start against the Jags, but since then have been two horrific starts, you know, getting down by, you know, 24 points in the last two games. Did you ever play on offense for whatever reason? Maybe you practiced well during the week or whatever, but you just had problems getting out of the block, so to speak, in games? And how do you go about fixing that, and can that be corrected you know, early in the season before it becomes, you know, something that basically just absolutely, you know, torpedoes your year?
Yeah, I think it's I've been on teams like that, and it's just that little extra work, right? That a little extra that you have to do in preparation in game day. You know, linemen have to pick up that little extra block. They can't just be satisfied with doing what they're supposed to. I'm going to, you know, it's the ultimate hustle. And I think that's the only way that you can get out of it, right? We're all giving our extra effort. I'm not just I'm going to slide today. I got to go, you know, get that extra 3 yards because it all matters. And I think it's contagious, right? So if your leaders are doing it, the other guys are doing it. If your leaders aren't doing it, the other guys will say, well, why do I need to do it then? So I think it's contagious. And for what the Commanders have been going through, we saw what they can do. Now the leaders have to step up and practice and do it every day. And I think if that team wants to be great, you know, there's only one way to be great, and that's every time you go in that facility and step on that field, no matter whether it's practice or game, you have to try and be great.
Gus Frerotte, you know, there are 32 different philosophies, 32 different owners. Everybody's got money. Here's the thing I love about the NFL. It's not like normal life where some people just have way more money than others. No, everybody's rich. So everybody kind of like has a chance at this. Yet most of them fail miserably over and over and over again. So if you were given the right, you are now Gus Frerotte, you have a franchise. I think there are 10 principles that I know that I would employ. I'd like to ask you, what are the first two or three things that you would do if we gave you unlimited access to funds and a chance to start a professional football team?
Yeah, you know, I've been around a lot of teams, a lot of owners, and, you know, there's a lot of people that have to go into making an organization great. Mm-hmm. You know, when you come in as an owner, you're going to put in, obviously, the people you want. And so I think the first thing you need to do in that front office, it's not even really the football people, it's everyone that that are similar to you, that have a profile like yours, that you know, can be a little different, but understand, you know, if you're very empathetic, you need people like that to understand you. And there's a lot that goes into that being an owner. And then you have to think about, okay, am I going to be hands-on, hands-off? And most owners I see, you don't see him at practice. Like Mr. Cook used to come to practice every now and then. And I think he was kind of a little bit of a mix. He had his office there. I don't know how many owners are like that now, but I think then I'm getting a GM that I can trust.
So that's your first hire. Then, your first hire is the general manager.
Yeah, because that's the guy that's going to go and do the work for you, right?
Okay, no, but I mean, no, that's not how. Everybody has their own way. I'm just trying to figure out. I agree with you. My first hire would be a general manager. That would be the most powerful person in my organization, would never be a coach. It would be the general manager. That doesn't mean I'm right. That's just how I would do it. And that's why I was wondering, that's why I wanted to know. Who was your first hire?
Well, okay. I'm saying the general manager because he's overseeing everything, trainers, you know, everything that goes on in the kitchens. If you know, every team has kitchens now.
Exactly.
I mean, if you remember, Doc, there was no kitchen in
no, it was Mickey D's in the brown bag. You're right. It was peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah. You know, that's what I'm saying. But they're overseeing the coaches, the players, everyone. They have their hands in everything. A coach is just supposed to coach, right? The players, right? You don't have to worry about marketing and doing all the other stuff. General manager's overseeing everything. And then you hire good coaches. But inevitably, it comes down to the players, Doc. And what do the players need? Are we taking care of all their needs? Is everything they're doing coordinated to make them the best player they can be on the field, right? Is the lifting structured for their position? Is their eating structured for their position? Is, you know, how we're watching film structured for position the right way? Because it's not all the same. Every position is absolutely different.
Mm-hmm.
A quarterback doesn't learn the same as an offensive lineman, right? Mm-hmm. A lineman doesn't care what the coverage is.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're Matt Burke at center and he would see the coverage and he'd call certain protection.
Right.
But not many guys could do that. So I think that it always starts at the top, but that general manager is going to oversee everything. And to me, it has to be, you know, not what the owner wants at that point. It's what the players want. And we got to get the players in that fit our expectations. We just can't have an offense and think you can bring in any player and he's going to be able to perform in that offense. If you have an offense, you better go get a player that fits your personality and fits your way that you call plays, right? Because this isn't like Legos. You can just snap a new piece on, right? You got to go find somebody that works the same, that does things the same way that you do. And I think that's the only way a team can be built. That's why Brady and Belichick were so great together, because they kind of had that same idea.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Gus Frerotte, man, we appreciate it. Appreciate everything you've been doing as well. Anywhere people can find you, please feel free to plug that.
Yeah, everybody can go to NFLApodcast.com. They can see my podcast on there, and they can see all the other guys, you know, from Lawrence Taylor to we have a Bengal show. I'm trying to get Doc Walker on there, but, you know, he's big time. It's hard to get him on there. But go to NFLApodcast.com. Check out all our shows, and we're adding more every week.
Awesome.
Oh, that's great, man. I appreciate it. I'm looking for my opportunity, Gus. I'm just waiting. I'm waiting patiently.
Hey, we're waiting for you, man.
All right, brother. I appreciate you. You dropped some dimes on us, man. Thank you. I'll be in contact.
All right, Doc.
All right, you got
all
it, man.
Right, thanks.
That's Gus Frerotte.
See you, man.
Yeah, he answered the question I wanted, and that my first hire.
Yeah.
What would be your first hire, Jack?
Yeah, it's got to be a GM. I mean, it's
no,
just,
it don't have to be.
Well, no, listen.
No, it's not here.
Right.
No,
well,
the other places, no, it don't have to be.
Listen, we went through this. I've lived through this in many versions, right?
Yeah.
Whether it was with the Wizards or with this football team, you know, back in the heyday. When
there's a
worked,
number of ways to do it.
When it worked, you was usually GM first.
Yeah.
That person would then hire the coach.
I believe in that.
You have to have some level of give and take. And, you know, somebody's going to break the ties, right? I mean, it's either you're going to say, hey, the GM has to break the tie. You know, he's the guy who's the final decider.
That's why you got to have him in charge.
Or the coach. I mean, look, we know Joe and Bobby had a little power struggle at one point. And Bobby
all the healthy ones do.
Right, and eventually going to.
All the healthy ones do.
Eventually going to. We saw this with the Wizards, even though in the early years with Eddie and Ernie, it worked really well because they were winning. Mm-hmm. But then when tough times came about, hey, guess what? Eddie wasn't Ernie's guy. And Ernie and Eddie was hired before Ernie, so Eddie always thought he was above Ernie, even though Ernie was actually above Eddie.
Exactly.
So you had all this weird stuff, and, you know, and Abe Pollin was so hot to get Eddie, he went out and hired him before he ever hired a GM, which was wrong. I mean, it was really not the way to do it.
That's an owner mistake.
That's an owner mistake, but those things can be forced upon both parties, and it makes it awkward. I mean, there was a time, I don't know if people remember this, but Tom Thibodeau was hired here by Ernie.
Mm-hmm.
And after about 2 days, he cleaned out his office and left as an assistant. As an assistant,
Eddie
Jordan.
Because
he was hired
coach.
To be the defensive coordinator, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And Eddie, you know, went above.
We never need
hey,
one
this
over
isn't
here.
My contract. Yeah. I will hire my staff. This should not be happening. Right. This guy just said, I'm too uncomfortable. I'm out of here. Like, for whatever reason, they went to Boston.
Right.
We know the rest is history.
Yeah, and we lose again.
So
all I'm saying is that I'm indicating this. This may work out great. This group may go to the Super Bowl this year. But if they don't, I would encourage, if we ever get somebody in charge of the operation, there's a way that is proven that doesn't work in this league.
Right. Yeah.
And that is when a coach has too much power that doesn't win. He's not going to discipline himself. He's going to probably bring in everybody he grew up with on his block and in his neighborhood. And the only way you can circumvent that is to have somebody that doesn't give a shit about his family. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No, straight up. If you want to hit this real, then that's what I'm saying. Right is right. You can't expect people to police themselves. You need adult supervision. Either get some leadership going on it or deal with the results.
All right. We'll get back to some calls, 301-230-0980. We've got a Thursday night football game to get to as well. Could be a good one tonight, Miami at the Bengals. We'll talk about that. Coming up, it's Doc Walker, Scott Jackson. Thanks to Gus Farad for joining us here on Burgundy Gold today here on the Team 980 streaming live on the free Odyssey app.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is the Burgundy and Gold Today.
Dalton gets sacked. Chase Young got him.
On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Chicken heads from Pasadena to Medina. Bet big, get in between your dead feet.
The prognosis, doses, blood. That lets you know, folks, that young kid is back. You know, I love his youth and enthusiasm because
he's very confident.
He's
isn't
confident.
He's extremely confident.
This is, you know, this is like he likes to poke the bear.
Oh, he totally likes
it. Oh, he loves that.
He called you and Brian the bald-headed brothers the other day.
Bald-headed brother. No, see, no, be Mitch. See, Brian doesn't know yet.
Yeah, yeah.
But he will know tonight. When I see him, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just letting you know right now. See, you messed up. See, you really stepped on it. Once B. Mitch hears about this,
oh, that's great.
It's over.
So, Scott Jackson.
Yes.
I got a question for you. Did you snitch on me, Scott?
No, I said it in front of you, so it's not snitching.
Yeah, he said it in front of you. But I heard about it. And B. Mitch, look.
I told you, Doc hears everything, man.
Oh,
he's
yeah,
like
I'll
Santa
see him
Claus.
Tonight.
He's like Santa Claus. He hears
I'll
everything.
See him tonight. Okay, he'll know.
Yeah, he's like Santa. He
Watch
hears
your
it all.
Back. I'm just amazed that, you know, how these young boys mess with B. Mitch. They just don't know.
Oh.
It's like,
poor Jeff Walker. I mean, he's.
Jeff Walker. You know
I don't
what?
Know what he's thinking.
He got a cast on his hand.
Yeah, I wonder how that happened.
Messing around with B. Mitch, I'm telling you, man. Yeah,
hey, look, I sleep with one eye open, man.
Yeah, yeah. No, you have to. What did you think about Gus Frerotte? Did you hear the interview?
I caught the tail end because me and Matt were swapping out.
Okay,
swapping
yeah.
In, yeah. Swapping spots. Yeah, so he's in front of a – Gus is now running a podcast network.
Yeah, yeah. Running a podcast network.
That's awesome. Good
yeah,
for him.
It's good.
You know, so he says, you know, I'm not that much older. I'm actually younger than him.
No.
So unlike him, I didn't jump into pro football instead I was covering sports. But
yeah.
I do remember standing in front of Gus and he thinking to myself, my God, these guys are my age. You know, when I was back, yeah. Now, I was young, you know, yeah. And I was like, this is whacked, you know.
Yeah.
I remember feeling that way. I remember sitting next, like I was at a Bullets game one year and it was at a randomest thing. He Schuler was sitting like 2 seats down from me. And I think I talked to the poor guy the whole game. I felt bad. Hell of a nice guy.
Hell of a nice guy. You know what? I did a college football game at ESPN, Kentucky, Tennessee.
Oh, nice.
When he was there. First time, you know what? The dude was an athletic freak.
He was a great athlete.
At
you know, that
Tennessee,
really hurt him. It, like, he was almost like this day and age, like, he would have been much more valuable than he was back then.
Because
then they're trying to fit you in. Yeah. You're going to be a dropback, you know, and all this stuff. And he had athleticism and all this stuff that he had. And then, of course, he lost that when he had that foot injury. I think that happened in New Orleans, though, right? That happened after here. And it just.
But he was so good. People acted like he couldn't. I saw him be like Manziel.
Yeah.
I saw him be like Baker. I saw him as good as anybody I covered in college football.
Now, he was. I mean, he was exciting. And, you know, again, the athleticism part, you just they didn't emphasize that back
I know
in the days.
Something happened.
And it just, you know, and again, just mentally. You know, again, this is why I say to all my friends that are in politics that get pissy about.
I met you one friend
that get pissy about athletes, right?
Yeah.
I say, hey, all I know is there was a guy who played quarterback here that couldn't cut it as a quarterback, but he made it. You know, he made it in Congress.
Yeah,
so
Congress.
I mean, it's obviously a lot harder to play quarterback than it is to be an elected official. So that's all I know. But anyway, you know, he was a congressman in North Carolina for, what, 6 years, I want to say, something like that.
Man.
Yeah. I actually saw him randomly, too, when I was up with my son when he was like 7th or 8th grade on a field trip. When Heath was still in Congress, he stopped by and said hello to the class. It was really funny. But
yeah, nice guy.
Very nice guy.
You know
guy.
What I wanted to get to with Gus, and we'll get him back down the road. What I learned most, one of the other things I learned from Coach Gibbs, not as a player, but as I covered it, as a member of the media, Jerry Rome, who was a terrific player, hell of a coach, a legend, Dallas Cowboy quarterback, he had an assistant coach, his quarterback coach, on an adjacent field with one guy and several assistants for 80% of the practice with just a quarterback or two. And I used to sit up there and go, wow.
Yeah.
He put such an emphasis on the one position. Guess who all went through that school? The kid we just had on the phone?
Yeah.
Green went through it.
Trent Green, yeah.
Rippin went through it. Doug Williams went through it.
Trent Green, I watched him, Trent Green, Jerry Rome have a catcher's mitt, little catcher's mitt. They were killing his hands, so he had these big old fat gloves.
Remember, Trent Green was a running quarterback in college,
yeah,
right?
But he had with one coach for 2 hours plus every day. He developed quarterbacks, and they weren't making the money that they're making now.
No.
Now that you're giving them all this money.
You don't develop them.
You don't develop them. And because you got no boss.
Right.
There's nobody to say, hey, I need you to blah, 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 blah. No, it doesn't happen. And I sit there and go, am I the only guy that saw that? I can't be.
No. Don't think you're the only guy that saw it. But it is interesting.
But do you hear the questions being asked over there?
That you could do that. Now, nobody nobody let you do that now.
Yeah, but Joe. Was Joe ahead of the game?
Yeah, with the
free agencies, Plan B.
Yeah.
See, he beat them in every way possible.
Yeah.
He and his and Bobby Beathard.
Unfortunately, you cannot do that now, sadly. But you can't, you know, look, you could still develop guys. I mean, there's nothing against that. But yeah, now you know, it's weird because you come in and, you know, for a guy like Sam Howell, what's he doing now? He's running a scout team, right? I mean, he's not even running your offense. I guess he gets a few reps here and there if Wentz is getting a veteran day off or whatever. Although I wouldn't know because obviously
you
don't see practice.
Are you there?
No.
That's the other thing, too.
Right, we don't know. I mean, I'm assuming.
No. See, here's the owners. The owners think they're winning. When you let the coaches keep us out of practice, you also hurt yourself because now you don't know what's going on. At least when we were out there, we'd run on shows and say, wait a minute, how come they don't do this?
Right.
I would be the first guy saying, are you letting a developmental quarterback play scout, throw scout team? I mean, to me, that was mind-boggling. Does it make sense? I got a guy drafted,
right,
and he's just playing the other team's dummy?
I know.
No, I can go get a guy at 7-Eleven and have him throw scout team. I need to be developing a guy to play my system, right?
Yeah, I mean, he still goes through all the drills with you, but then he has to run scout.
No, come on. Jack, that's not that's nothing.
Yeah.
That's what they don't develop.
Well, you know how it is. They always go, hey, this guy's coming to the game. He took zero snaps this week. The first
and
team quarterback takes
it.
Like 90% of the
snaps. They brag about it.
99% of the
but
snaps.
If they had a boss
who
understood pro football, he'd chastise them.
Well, that's why you always have positions for Colt McCoy.
Exactly.
And guys who don't need reps.
Exactly.
And Taylor, I think, is that guy.
He's invaluable.
Yeah.
Taylor will be in this league another 5 years, guaranteed.
Yeah, because you don't need reps.
You better pay him, too.
You don't need reps, so that's what you do. All right, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. If you want to jump back on the phones, we were talking earlier about Dallas Week.
Sound? We got no Ron?
And I don't know. Ron didn't talk.
Didn't talk?
He doesn't do Thursdays.
Wait a minute. Jack talked in, right?
Jack talked today, yeah.
Oh, come on, man. Give me some Jack.
You want to hear that later? We could do that. Or Scott
Please.
Turner? You would rather hear Jack?
I'd rather hear as many of them talk as possible.
Well,
I love it when they talk.
Well, let's get... Who do we got on the phones first? Let's clear out the phones.
Well, you know what the phones are going to say.
I know what
you hate your guts. We suck. You're not going to beat Dallas.
True that.
We've heard enough
I've
of
heard
that.
It. I know. Well, that's true, too.
Where's that? Where's Big L? Where's Biggin in charge? What does he say about himself?
Young is in charge.
Oh, yeah. Young and in charge. Young. Yeah,
that's funny.
That dog, dag nabbit. Let me see. All right. Capitol Hill, we go. Derek, welcome to Burgundy and Gold today.
What's going on, Doc? That's Capitol Heights.
Hey, dog, let me tell you something. You want to do this show? You be wherever the hell I say you're from. No, man, I'm just messing with you. Go.
Hey, Doc, I've always heard you say there are a lot of good character guys on this team. Doc, I'm starting to see it a little different. I'm starting to believe there's a character issue, not just with the players, but the coaching staff as well. This consistently starting and cement every game. You look up before you blink, you're down 20. Slow starts in the first half, slow starts to the season. When does someone just grab the bull by the horn and say, look, we're doing it this way because this is how we know it works, and we're going forward with this method. Like, I see people around in the game when I'm watching, you're just too chill and cool by losing. You're down 20. And no one seems to care. That's
And okay. Derek, I appreciate your call. Why should they? Who do they answer to? I mean, you're not going to get in trouble. How many of you would have cleaned your room up if you knew your mom wasn't going to whip your behind or your dad when he got home? Who would do anything without being monitored? Now, y'all think I'm not trying to be funny. I'm asking you.
No, this is funny.
Okay, Jack came up with this joke. Hey, young fella, did you hear what Jack said? He had a prank. He came up with he made up these stats about the team start, and it's hilarious.
It's not made
up. You
haven't heard?
It's real. No, this ain't real.
It's real. Okay.
Anthony, listen to this.
After Sunday's game where they trailed 24-0, the Commanders are now trailed by 20 or more points in 10 of 36 games under Ron Rivera. Also, the seventh time they've fallen down by a score of 20-0 or worse.
Young fella, do you believe that?
That's 28% of the time, though.
No way in hell that's true.
Anthony. You know I wouldn't make that up.
Yeah, I don't think Scott would make it up.
Thank you. I think
it's very much believable. I mean, we've had two games already to
two
start
in a row, right?
This season.
Right, two in a row, 24-0.
Exactly.
So there you go.
Back to back, that's two. Now let's talk about two other seasons. I could definitely believe it. It's definitely believable. Hey, dog.
Nobody's punking you. I'm telling you, it's real.
Well, I'm just saying, I don't believe how these parents, these young parents, all these new millennials were talking about time out and how they manage their babies and you don't do this and you don't. I don't understand how none of this new stuff you young people are doing. But I tell you what, hell, I should have been a coach. That's unbelievable. That's true what he's saying.
True story.
Man. I believe it.
Oh, God. Okay.
All right, let's take a timeout. Let's hear from the defensive coordinator on the other side briefly before we get out of here. Hand it over to the Hoffman Show. It is Burgundy Gold today, Doc. Scott Jackson here with the Team 90 streaming live on the free Odyssey app.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is the Burgundy and Gold Today.
McLaurin in stride for the first down.
On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Haney's his last name. Anthony's his first. Syracuse University produced the scholar. What do you think Anthony would have been like in his favorite sport? Jack, on a collegiate level.
What do you mean, basketball?
Well, I don't know. Whatever sport you... Oh, is he?
Yeah,
he is a basketball player.
Haney's a basketball guy.
Oh, yeah, he is.
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
He's a hoops guy.
Oh, I didn't know
Yeah,
that.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. On the baseline, Anthony Haney.
Okay.
Always.
True bucket getter over here, Doc.
He is
true
a bucket getter. Now, okay. I'll be honest with you. If you're looking for a guy to set up somebody else to get shots, yeah. That's not your guy.
Okay.
It's not him.
So he's sticky fingers. Okay. Yeah, so he's sticking fingers.
You gave Anthony the ball. Yeah, I think he can get buckets. Okay. You're not getting it back. But if you were hoping, like, hey, we're going to run this offense.
He's a volume shooter. Yeah, okay. Yeah, he's a You know who I really want to see ball? G from the shop. I want to see G from the shop. Now, I know his pass is credible.
Right. His pass is credible.
But, I mean, currently, the way he trains, I want to know has it affected his game, you know, at all. I'm just saying. I'm just worried about that. We asked a lot of questions. I mentioned the coaches. And
you want to hear?
Yeah, I'd love to hear. Man, I can't get enough.
Let's hear Jack Del Rio just a little while ago. Wrap it up talking Cowboys Commanders.
All right. Afternoon, everybody.
Afternoon. Jack, what did you make of your defense last week?
I like the first, third, and fourth quarters. I thought we played some good football in spurts. We're looking to have – more consistency in what we're doing, but there were some real bright spots in the game. And, you know, a couple things we'd like to do better, but the effort has been really strong. And I feel like we're improving.
And Benjamin looked pretty comfortable outside. What do you attribute that to, and is that something you look at maybe in the future?
Yeah, he stood up. Benjamin did a good job. Late in the week, you know, Will had some issues and wasn't able to go, and Benjamin stepped up and did a nice job for us. So, yeah, we're looking to play good football, you know, whatever we can do.
The way Deron and John Allen are playing together with their games up front and everything, what do you make of those two? Are they kind of at another level or a higher level than they were last year?
I like the way the D-line group is working as a whole. I think the leadership has been very strong, both John and Deron, both two really good football players. So, yeah, I mean, I like the way they're approaching things.
And when you mentioned you saw a lot of bright spots on the film, what were some of them that really stood out to you?
I'm moving on. I mean, I understand, you know, I'd rather just talk about what we have coming up in Dallas and move on. There's definitely some bright spots, some good things that occurred, and need to keep the good things good and work on some of the things that are not as good, being more consistent there.
In terms of, you know, looking back a little, but also looking forward, what did you notice with Cam Curl back in the lineup, and how can his impact continue to shape this defense?
Great to have Cam back. He has a kind of a calming influence on the group. I think you know, he's so reliable, and his communication is so strong. His understanding of what we're doing so strong. So great to have him back.
And with Cooper Rush, limited film, but a guy who's been in the league for a while, how are you going about preparing for him?
Yeah, there's plenty of film. He's doing a nice job directing the offense. You know, he gets rid of the ball quickly. He's led them late in two close games and been able to help them pull out a win. So, yeah, we're going through the studying all the Cooper Rush tape we can and getting ourselves prepared.
Ron was saying for the explosives that you guys are at least in position to make plays. What did you kind of make of those? And then just was there something that clicked for you guys in terms of being in better position? Was it just better execution? What did you kind of see?
Yeah, I mean, it's, I feel like we have a good handle on what's going on and why, and working hard to rectify it, you know. And, you know, that's what we have to do. You know, that's you know, definitely one of our must get that part going. I think a lot of things improve when we do, and we're working hard at that.
And with Jamin, you know, he had a couple of the plays that he was there for the contain for Hurts. What have you seen from him in terms of rushing the passer, and is there something about his game that suits that area?
Well, he's got a lot of speed, you know, so if you have a guy that can run, he can certainly track him and get him down. And there were a couple examples of him doing just that in the game. So want him to continue to grow and work hard and develop the way he is, and he'll make the plays when he has an opportunity.
Montez Sweat, obviously he's done some good things, but that sack number, what do you tell him about focusing on that, or when those will come?
Yeah, I mean, sacks and turnovers come in bunches, and you just got to, you know, play and compete and really be focused on, you know, each guy focus on what he can do for us, and then we put it all together on game day. And but I think he's doing a great job. I think he's affecting a lot of things that don't necessarily show up in the stat column, but he's playing good football.
Another guy at that position, Shaka Tony, obviously a lot of potential there. Where is he at in his developmental curve?
Yeah, a lot different scenario. One guy was a seventh-round pick and a special teams contributor, and one guy's a, you know, first-round talent. But we expect all our guys to prepare, play well. They're getting opportunities. We've had a bunch of injuries we've been able to kind of withstand, and we should start getting guys healthier and get them back into play. But I like the way the group's working overall. I think, you know, working hard, and I think Z's doing a good job with the group.
Jack, when
you guys made your final cuts. You put Danny Johnson and Cornell there ultimately on practice squad, and then you had picked up a couple other guys off waivers, and you had to use Wild Goose this week. For you, like, how challenging is it to get these young guys who don't have a lot of experience, who are new to your system, up and ready? And obviously Wild Goose had to actually play this week. How challenging is that versus guys like Johnson and Elder who kind of at least knew your system?
Yep, that's the challenge, adding young talent to a group and developing them and working with them as quick as possible. I like the way Wild Goose approached things. You know, he got a little grabby on a play early that got called, but you know, overall he did some real solid things for us. So we'll keep developing them and working with them, and it's good to have the other guys, you know, like we do.
And what's that balance between trying to develop some of these young guys in real time, but you're also trying to win and having them perhaps have to learn in a real game?
Everything's about winning, so it's all about win first, but in order to win, you got to develop. And sometimes you get a guy that's playing that just got here. But, you know, the position was kind of decimated, and he needed to play like the week he got here. And that was the case with Ridgeway, you know, who actually is going back to where, you know, where he was drafted this year. So, I mean, those things happen. It's fluid. You know, we just, to me, what we've got to focus on, do the best we can to zero in, to teach, help the guys understand, and create a role that they can execute, and then let them grow, and let them play, and so you know, you're constantly going through that as the year goes on. Injuries occur, and different things happen, and different opportunities to acquire talent. And I know the scouting department is always going to work hard to try and bring us the best players that we are capable of getting, and we're going to work hard as coaches to develop those guys, get them ready to play.
And as you said, sacks and turnovers often come in bunches. Are there things that you're like, what do you look at to try and maybe create some of those situations for them? And how much are you looking to, I don't know,
awareness? I mean, we know about our turnover tape. I think we talked about that a little bit in the past. You know, we weekly emphasize that, you know, with instruction and opportunities to learn from how things are happening around the league and things, and drills that we've done from the beginning of time. You know, we got turnovers in bunches throughout the offseason. And really, I'm surprised we haven't got them going yet, but they come, and we will, and we'll get ours. And so we keep pushing, keep playing. It's like anything, you know. You have designs, how you'd like to see things go. They don't always go exactly like you like. And, you know, the key is, as a competitor, get yourself prepared, go out there and compete again. And we've got an opportunity in Dallas coming up.
What have you seen from that with the offensive line? There's been changes on their line. Ezekiel Elliott's a little bit older now, but what have you seen from that run game and what they still do well?
Yeah, they're a good group. They've got a talented O-line. They've got two backs that are really good at what they do, and they've got really good design. So, yeah, it'll be a challenge for us to get them slowed down.
Last one. I realize you're going against their offense, but just from a defensive perspective, what makes Micah Parsons so good at what he does?
I mean, you know, he's had a great start to his career. So, explosive athlete, I think, is the main thing. Guy plays hard. All right, appreciate it. Thanks.
All right, Jack Del Rio wrapped it up earlier today over at the Command Center, talking about the Cowboys and obviously his defense, like the first, third, and fourth quarters.
Mm-hmm.
I did too. I didn't care much for the second quarter, though. I think that's what he was getting at.
No. I would agree with him. But it was good to hear it. And, man, they're making strides. Based on what I saw, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was watching live. We got better.
Yeah, look, they're not playing as good an offense this week, but they can't have a letdown, right? I mean, because that's been kind of the nature of this group, is to have letdowns after you think they're making progress. So we'll see. Hopefully a step forward. All right, enjoyed it this week with you, Doc. Anthony
Thanks,
Haney.
Thanks, Jack. Glad you
Matt
went down.
Matt Essig. Thanks to Gus Frat, Lou Holder, for jumping on board with us today. Craig Hoffman show straight ahead.
Tony Hill tomorrow, brother. Cowboy fans bringing you through Hill.
And I believe Linnell Willingham in with Craig here coming up next as well.
Hoffman, baby. He's on deck.
All right, we're out of here. Have a great day, everybody. Have a good weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday. Doc will be back with you tomorrow here on Burgundy Gold Today, Team 980, streaming live with the free Odyssey app. You'll be relieving your stress.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.